Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Unarranged Marriage by Laura Brown, narrated by Kelly Taker. Chapter 1. The car wouldn't start. Mark Goldman sat in his driver's seat, pressed the start button. No lights, no dings, no motor running, no signs of life. He already had to use his key to unlock his car in the first place, which struck him as unusual, but nothing compared to this. He used his key a second time, plugging it into the manual slot, something he hadn't had to do in years with his newer model BMW. He turned the ignition, then again. Not a rumble, not a choke, only silence. Considering he had a 3-hour drive and his sister's week-long wedding extravaganza to get to, this puzzle was missing more than a few pieces. He popped the hood and got out of the car, slamming his door. The warm summer breeze ruffled his short hair as he checked his engine. What he expected to find, he hadn't a clue, since he barely knew how to refill his washer fluid. No red light flashing to indicate a problem, only a slightly dirty engine. Should a 2-year-old vehicle be this dirty under the hood? Didn't matter. He had a PhD in epidemiology. If his car suddenly developed a virus, odds would be good. He could fix it. Not so much for mechanical errors. Mark closed the hood and went back into the car for his phone. He skipped his sister on the contact list, not wanting to stress out the bride-to-be, and went with a person who had everyone's itinerary locked up in her powerful brain, his mother, to let her know of his delay. As the line connected, he debated his options. He could call the dealership, see if someone could squeeze him in. A cab or rideshare would work, but for that long of a ride, he didn't feel right about that. Snagging a rental for the week would be his next best option, if anyone was open at this hour on a Sunday. The line rang once, twice, and he decided on dealership, then rental, by the time she answered. The line only ever rang twice, or it went to voicemail. An in-between option did not exist.
Mark, my firstborn, you making good time? And speak up, child. You talk too softly for this spotty reception.
He swore and glanced up past the tall buildings surrounding him, putting on his teacher's voice.
I got a bit delayed, and it seems my car won't start.
Oh.
Her tone held only a note of surprise, as though she'd expected this, and the hair on the back of his neck rose.
Well, she said, most everyone is on the road already, but Shayna isn't too far from you, and I think she planned on coming here later.
I am not driving with Shayna.
He'd use a rideshare before getting in a car with Shayna.
I'll call the dealership and see if it's something easily fixed.
Don't be silly. There's no time for that, and you're both heading in the same direction. You two have known each other since birth. You can handle a 3-hour drive.
He clutched his phone a bit too tight. Wouldn't have been surprised if he managed to disconnect the call. Shayna, his mother's best friend's daughter, born 10 days before him. And upon his birth, the mothers began planning for the two newborns to fall in love and get married. Two kids who turned out to be nothing alike. Never mind the fact that Shayna hated him. He prided himself on being liked by everyone. At least, he tried to. She screwed up the curve before they were out of diapers. But he didn't hate her. Not exactly. More like he didn't know her. For all the joint family times together, they never really talked. And when they did, she ignored him. So he'd hung out with her older brother or his sister. And yet, their mothers still harbored this not-so-secret wish that the two would fall madly in love. More likely, they'd kill each other on a 3-hour drive. Her car probably came with an ejector seat made specially for him.
I'll get a rental. No use bothering Shayna or having to borrow someone's car the entire week.
The wedding was taking place in a remote town in northern New Hampshire. Not like Boston,
where he could walk or take the subway where he needed to go, but a spot where he'd truly be at the mercy of his family.
"Oh, hush," his mother scolded. "It's no big deal, and you can always borrow anyone's car if you need to go somewhere while you're here. Besides, I already asked Shayna, so she'll be picking you up soon. I've got to go help Lena now. See you in a few hours."
She hung up before he could respond. A sinking sensation filled in his gut. How could his mother have asked Shayna if she'd been on the phone with him the entire time? Something was definitely up. Worse, he didn't have Shayna's number. No way to warn her off or fix the situation. He'd been turned into a sitting duck, waiting for his arch nemesis to arrive, by his own mother. And now he really didn't have time to call the dealership and get an expert opinion. Fuck. So much for a relaxing drive north where he could think about his latest work challenge and come up with different solutions. He'd just have to suck it up and ride with Shayna, because his mother had trapped him, and because his baby sister deserved for him to be at her wedding and play nice. With any luck, Shayna would play nice as well, though their 32-year history predicted that outcome to be highly unlikely.
"No! No! Absolutely not! Can you believe this?"
Shayna Fogel showed the phone to her fish, but all they cared about was the vacation feeder she dropped into their tank. They swarmed the pyramid food receptacle, poking at it like someone playing slots at the casino.
"Don't eat that all in a day, because if you do, you'll either kill yourself from overeating or kill yourself by starving before I get back."
The fish didn't care.
"If you're done talking to yourself, I need you to focus,"
her mother said through the echoing connection of the phone, not helped by the sounds of traffic. Her parents were clearly on the highway, and she had to strain over the background noises to hear her mother.
"I wasn't talking to myself. I was talking to my fish."
"Do the fish talk back?"
One orange and white goldfish poked at the surface of the water, as though the food had been deposited like normal and not in a white blob at the bottom of the tank.
"No, they are fish, Mom. But just like talking to plants, it's a good thing. Besides, they aren't trying to rope me into carpooling to the wedding with a certain someone."
The fish swam away, and she sighed. Mark Goldman needed a ride, one she didn't want to give him because she'd been looking forward to the long ride by herself. Nothing but open road, her choice of music, and no mumbling, incoherent passengers. The relaxing trip a necessity before dealing with her overbearing family for a week.
"You're the only one local not already on the road," her mother pointed out. "It's one trip. Someone else will bring him back."
This wasn't a quick trip to the grocery store. This was a 3-hour out-of-state drive, not even close to the same thing.
"Can't he call a cab or get a rental or something?"
That's what she would have done. Ask for help. No, thank you. She was perfectly capable of handling things herself. Mark was capable of that, too. Her mother gasped.
"Manners, young lady!"
Young lady? She was 32.
"Why should he rent a car when we'll all be up together here? Besides, Carrie already told him you'll be picking him up. He's expecting you."
"No, no, no, no. Mr. Whispers was not expecting her, not when they'd had approximately 5 conversations over the past 3 decades of knowing each other."
"You told Carrie that I drive her son on a 3-hour trip without checking with me first? What if I'd already left? I could be talking to you from the road."
"Not while talking to your fish, dear."
Shayna rubbed the tender spot between her brows, a sure sign of a headache coming on, one that had nothing to do with the craptastic phone connection and echoing noise.
"There's got to be another option here," she said.
"Oh, sweetie, thank you for your help. I'll see you soon."
"What?"
"Mom! Mom! I didn't agree to anything!"
No sound came through.
and when she pulled her phone away from her ear, she found the call disconnected and two new text messages. One was from her mother, with Mark's address. Shayna took a deep breath, but no sense of calm washed over her. She took another deep breath, searching for a zen-like state. She could handle an uncomfortable car ride. Not an ideal situation, but no sense getting all riled up over something she'd lost control of before she accepted her mother's call. She checked the second message on her phone. This one was from her brother, Noah. "Let the man ride with you. The sooner you get up here, the sooner you can distance yourself." The sooner... Wait, was Noah already there? She thought it to be the bride and groom who had gone up early. But if her brother was there... Shayna, "You're up there already?" Noah, "Yeah, case ended early, so we thought, why not?" Her brother didn't do anything on a whim like that. Not Mr. Perfect Lawyer. Something had to have spurred him on. Shayna, "Why?" Noah, "Question mark?" Shayna, "There's a catch here. What is it?" Noah, "Why don't you get your ass up here and find out?" He followed that up with a winking emoji. Something smelled fishy, and it didn't have a thing to do with a tank in front of her. One fish swished in front of the glass, checking out the large human on the other side of the tank. "You think I should get over myself and go pick him up too, don't you?" The fish continued to swim. No answers. "I really should have given you names." She collected the wrapper from the vacation feeder and tossed it in the trash, then grabbed her luggage and the garment bag holding her bridesmaid's dress. She checked the lights, made sure she hadn't forgotten anything, snatched the wedding present she nearly forgot, and locked up her apartment. Once in her car, she settled behind the wheel, still debating this whole setup. In reality, she had no choice. Her family would never let her live it down if she didn't give Mark a ride, and as much as she didn't care for the man, she wouldn't strand the brother of the bride. It wasn't his fault his car broke down. It also wasn't his fault that they had too many baby pictures together, some in infant wedding gear, much to her horror. There hadn't been an arranged marriage in her family tree in 4 generations. They didn't need to resume that ancient tradition now. She pulled out her phone, redirecting her GPS to Mark's address first. 5 minutes later, she realized how close they lived. There Mark stood, leaning against the tall white brick building, black luggage at his feet, looking about as thrilled as she felt. His short brown hair had a slight wave to it, his beard neat and trimmed. Sunglasses covered his eyes. Prescription, she knew. And damn the man, because he had this alluring quality to him that forced her to stay away from other bearded, glass-wearing men on principle. He wore an orange short-sleeve polo shirt over dark faded jeans, and as she pulled up beside him, she couldn't help but wonder, why orange? It didn't exactly flatter his white skin. "All right, let's get this over with," she said to herself, before waving to him. Mark nodded, no clear change in his expression, thanks to the sunglasses, and pushed away from the building. He picked up his garment bag, hefting it onto his shoulders, biceps bulging, and she had to look away before she did something horrifying, like drool. When had Mark gotten muscles? He was some sort of scientist, a workaholic at that. When did he find time to go to the gym? He approached her car, wheeling his other bag behind him, his mouth opening, the barest hint of a whisper of sound reaching her ears. His beard was trim, didn't cover his lips, but with no expression and no clear sound getting through, Shayna hadn't the foggiest idea what the man had said. Mark always talked like he tried not to scare a baby mouse, at least to her ears. Considering she'd had her hearing loss since birth, he should know better. She had to shoulder the weight of all communication needs 90% of the time because hearing people did not get it. The least someone who grew up with her could do was speak loud enough. Mark spoke again, gesturing to the side,
still not talking loud enough to make a lick of sense. Shayna tapped on her window. Hello, sound barrier. And even if she lowered her window, he still wouldn't be loud enough, and they'd still be playing this game. Mark's smile stretched wide. His fakest one. This long ride just got better and better. And gestured to his bag, then to the side, speaking a little louder, and one word got through. Trunk. At least she could do something with a word. She popped the trunk and he stood there, probably glaring behind his dark lenses, before heading to the rear of her car. The trunk opened, then slammed shut, and a moment later, Mark slid into the passenger seat. So how you been? She asked as she reset the GPS. Next stop, 2 hours and 55 minutes. How much time could she cut off by speeding? Mark responded, a bare whisper of a sound from a deep voice. Well, since conversation is out, music it is. She pressed the button on the audio controls, the latest Taylor Swift song filling the car. Angry Taylor at that. Finally, something going her way on a cosmic level. Chapter 2. The radio made Mark's ears bleed. And that had nothing to do with Taylor Swift. He enjoyed some of her songs, when he didn't have to worry about someone teasing him for it. But this was live concert-level loud, which meant only one thing. Shayna didn't want to talk. Not surprising. She did anything she could to limit their interaction. Here they were, in a car, with nothing much to do for hours. They could have an honest conversation for a change, but no, she couldn't be bothered. He checked his phone as Shayna turned onto Route 93, finding a text from his sister, aka the bride. Lena. You're on your way, right? I need someone to distract Mom. She's in Momzilla mode. He hadn't the foggiest clue about all the Zillas a wedding brought out until his sister got engaged. Since then, he'd heard the term apply to everyone and anyone. Mark. My car wouldn't start. I'm riding with Shayna. She should already be distracted by that. Lena.
What? OMG, you've got to be joking.
He angled his phone and got a picture of his scowling driver. Lena.
OMG, she looks as thrilled as you. LMAO.
Mark. Ha ha, funny for you. I'm stuck in this car for over 2 hours.
Lena. Try talking to her.
Mark. The Dragon Queen doesn't talk to mere mortals like me.
Lena. If you would just talk to her, you'd realize she's not a dragon.
He glanced at Shayna, who squinted under her lowered visor. Then he looked around to see if she had sunglasses, but couldn't find any. Mark. And we're right back to the fact that we don't talk.
Lena. Your loss.
Lena.
And I'm totally using this because Momzilla is back. You want to talk about dragons? It's not Shayna, it's Mom.
He couldn't argue with that.
Mark.
You sure they didn't switch some of us at birth?
Lena. Hush, the mothers are similar enough and close enough. No switching necessary.
Mark turned back to Shayna. Her dark bangs covered her eyebrows, the rest of her brown, nearly black hair loose around her shoulders. Her peach skin a shade lighter than his, which complimented her hair and eye coloring. And he didn't think that, simply because her beauty had been talked up to him his entire life, he could admit she was a beautiful woman, when she didn't scowl. With her outgoing ways and good looks, he expected her to have gotten married long before now. And yet, it was his baby sister to tie the knot first, followed by Shayna's older brother in 2 months. Their mothers had nearly given up on all four kids. Then, Lena had fallen head over heels, and Noah and his longtime girlfriend started thinking of creating a family. That took Mark and Shayna out of the spotlight, though clearly, now that wedding number one had nearly arrived, the single members of the family had claimed fresh attention. Mark rubbed his temple. The car ride would be long. but seeing his mother after the car ride would feel longer. He had planned on getting coffee on the way and should have thought of that before Shayna picked him up. Not that his mother had given him any idea when to expect her. "Want to stop for some coffee?" he said. "My treat."
She didn't flinch, didn't turn his way, shift her eyes, or twitch her hands on her wheel. Nothing.
He hadn't a clue how she managed to ignore him so well. She should have been an actress. He tried again, raising his voice over the music. Still nothing. How many hours left to go?
Shayna cruised down the highway, rocking out to the radio and changing the channel every time a commercial came on. She didn't need some random person talking about some random product that she couldn't understand when she could enjoy a melody. And maybe after the 20th time she heard a song, she'd pick up some of the words. Beside her, Mark volleyed between his phone and staring out the window. Not that she'd know if he tried talking to her anyway, not unless she gave him a megaphone. She actually got one for him once, for their 11th birthday, because being born 10 days apart meant way too many joint parties, including their bat and bar mitzvah. Not that either of them particularly wanted to share that event. Any event with dancing wasn't preferable when they were both well aware of their mother's wishes. Even now, a shiver crawled up her spine at the thought, though she did wonder if he still had the megaphone. She could have requested he pack it for the drive. No matter. She had her music and the open road ahead of her. Granted, population density meant a decent number of cars limited her forward movement, but soon enough she'd be in the more rural areas and could, metaphorically, let her hair down to blow in the wind. In reality, her hair was already down, and the wind did unhappy things with her hearing aid microphones. Yes. Just music, road, and no interaction with annoying Mark. She'd make good time, maybe even her best time, and send him on his way. Only she'd been so frustrated by her mother ruining her solo driving plans that she forgot to go to the bathroom before she left home. Damn it. This meant she needed to stop, and soon. Because once her bladder made her intent known, she wanted to be taken care of right away. Little diva. Better to get it over with, before they hit the long expanse of road with no stores or places to stop. For anything. Up ahead, she saw a sign for Dunkin' Donuts. Perfect. Coffee and a pit stop. She flipped her blinker on, then exited the highway and drove into the small parking lot. She parked and turned off the car, the happy music abruptly shifting to uncomfortable silence. And a bit of ear ringing. Damn. Maybe she shouldn't have blasted the music so loud. Mark raised an eyebrow over his sunglasses, a move she found sexy. But that would be sexy on anyone, she reasoned. Pit stop, she said. Get coffee or a donut if you want. He said something in response, not a single word loud enough to make any sort of sense. It didn't seem to be an objection, and her bladder wouldn't allow for a delay anyway. So she went with his acceptance and got out of the car. After she finished her business and washed her hands, she moved to the checkout line. Mark stood to the side, sipping what had to be a burn-your-tongue too-hot coffee, on a hot, late August day, no less. She placed her order, iced coffee, thank you very much, then moved near him to wait for the barista to make it. Something rustled by her ear, and she turned, finding Mark looking at her. She glanced around, but she spotted no toilet paper trails or other embarrassing mishaps. His mouth moved, but she couldn't even hear the timbre of his voice in this chatter-filled area. She tried to tamp down her frustration. She had conversations like this nearly every day. But because of that, the frustration refused to be tamed. Then he pointed, and she followed his finger across the area to a man standing by the door, leash in hand. On the other end of the leash sat a rather large cat who did not appear impressed to be on a leash.
A cat? Shayna asked Mark. Not something she'd ever seen in a highway rest stop. Mark nodded, saying something else that she still couldn't hear, but hey, at least she knew what he was talking about now.
His lips curved the slightest bit. And look at that. She and Mark had an inside joke now. Maybe the next person to enter would have a leash with a flying pig on the other end. Then he gestured back to the pickup counter, where an employee held out her coffee. Thanks, she said, moving to claim her large iced coffee. They headed back to the car, passing the cat, now grooming its front paw, as though this was just another day in the life of a cat. She nudged Mark's side and pointed, and he nodded, still talking. And she really thought that a man with a PhD would figure out by now that they weren't communicating so much as gesturing. Oh well, only small miracles for the day. They settled in and she started the car, turning the radio down a few notches when the sound blasted on. He shared a moment with her. She could save his eardrums for this next leg of the trip. She lost herself in the music, in the drive. And maybe, just maybe, she no longer wished her passenger hadn't joined her. A half hour later, Mark tipped his to-go cup back and let the final drop of now cold coffee hit his tongue. There had been a moment at the rest stop where they had a small chat, where he felt like they might connect for a change. Shayna had looked at him with intrigue, and he could almost picture her listening to him talking about work or sharing more stories about his own cat. And it stirred something foreign deep inside. But whatever spell had existed there had vanished. Then again, a cat on a leash created an easy icebreaker. The scenery had shifted to tree-lined paths, with hints of the tall, white-topped mountains coming into view. An occasional river passed by on either side, the blue water shimmering under the sun. Many summers of his youth involved trips up north, usually with a rented caravan, and the Goldmans and Fogels all cramped in together. By silent agreement, he and Shayna always ended up in a different row of seats, limiting interaction. Still, he enjoyed those summers, enjoyed these first glimpses of the majestic mountaintops, and knew his sister did as well, part of the reason her wedding was taking place up here. The radio stations had turned to static, and rather than search for a new local channel, Shayna had turned it off. No coffee, no music, no conversation. He hadn't a clue how to make a long trip longer, but clearly, adding Shayna in did the trick. "Do you remember that time we came up here and it rained our entire trip?" he said. Her eyes stayed glued to the road, not even a flinch of acknowledgement. "Or the time Lena got sick and we kept finding souvenirs to bring her from our outings?" Still nothing. "Or the time we ran over the hitchhiker and didn't even stop?" He expected a glare at that one. Anything would be better than this ice-cold silence. Mark scoffed. "Of course not. Why would you want to talk to me? You've known me for 32 years. Okay, so his voice went a little loud at the end, but damn it, frustration did that to a man. He couldn't deal with the perpetual silence. At this point, becoming the run-down hitchhiker himself sounded mighty tempting. "What are you grumbling about?" Shayna asked, glancing his way. Oh, sure. Now Her Royal Highness graces him with her presence. "Forget about it." He waved her off. Shayna's hands tightened on the wheel. "Nuh-uh, you do not get to do that to me." Before he could register her words, the car swung over to the side of the road, pulling under a canopy of trees. She punched the car into park and turned to face him, fire blazing in her dark eyes. "You listen here, Mr. High and Mighty." She jabbed a finger at his chest, and he did his best not to flinch. "You do not get to pull the never mind bit with me. If you want to talk to me, talk loud enough so I can hear you. You don't get to give me attitude when I've heard only about 10 things you've said in our entire lives. You don't talk like you're trying not to scare a mouse and then get upset with someone with a hearing loss. Hearing aids don't fix ears. They only amplify sounds. And in case you missed it, there are a lot of extra sounds on the road. Now, we have a place to be, and then we can go our separate ways like we always do. So don't give me attitude when I'm being kind enough to make sure you don't miss your sister's wedding." She jammed the car back into drive and pulled back onto the road before he could respond.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?